This is Fit as a Fiddle Plus. I'm Kathy Benner. I'm a passive income mentor. I've always introduced myself as a passive income coach in the past, but I always teach in my other course, my Build a Better Business, that you have to start first and get clarity second. And so as I was coaching and teaching and mentoring, I discovered that I like the mentoring process the best. That's kind of what fits my personality. And so I'm trying to create some margins in my schedule for 2024 and to rebrand myself just a bit from coach to mentor. Now I'm still doing some coaching because there's some folks that are like, oh no, you need to just really help me one-on-one get through this. And so I am doing some coaching, but I do enjoy the mentoring process. And so with that said, any of you that are listening, you can find me at kathybenner.com. You'll see my different lanes there. And it's all about taking whatever is your passion, turning that into your purpose. Then once you feel that you're working within your purpose, having you make a profit, because we all have the right to have a roof over our heads and food to eat and take care of our families. But you know what? When you're 90, you're not going to want to probably be doing what you're doing now. Maybe you will, I don't know. But at some point, turn that profit then into passive income so that it takes on a life of its own and you can make even more impacts. So that is the goal for all of us that are on this call and for everyone that's listening, is that you can actually work within your passion, turn it into your purpose, make a profit to support your family comfortably, and then eventually have some passive income where it kind of takes on a life of its own and helps support you through your retirement years and do what it is you want to do. For me, it's travel. Everybody has a different vision of what a perfect day in their life looks like. You know, my girlfriend, her perfect day is just lying on the beach all day. I would get bored after about an hour or two, because I'm so used to being busy. So everybody's perfect day is different. So anyway, that's all about me. I am going to actually turn it over to Rita and let Rita tell us what it is that she's doing and what her message is all about, and then put that in the chat for everyone.
Hey, everybody. I am Rita Brewer, and I have been a physician assistant for 32 years, now turned diabetes reversal coach, because after so many decades of taking care of people in their sickest of sickest complications of diabetes and other chronic illnesses, I decided that I want to start working with people on a preventative basis to help them not get to diabetes in the first place, or if they have pre-diabetes and type 2 diabetes, help coach them into reversing that process so they don't have to suffer with all the complications that are related to that. So I do one-on-one private coaching, and I'd love to hear from you if you think this is something you might be looking for, or share with your friends and family, because there's millions and millions of people out there who need this type of help. So you can find me and all my social media links and contacts right on my website, ritabrewer.com.
I love it. I love it. I love it. Rita, put that in the chat for everyone. Now I'm going to share my screen for just a moment before we move on to Sunil. We haven't forgotten you, Sunil. We'll be right back. But I am going to share my screen. So bear with me until I get to the proper screen here. This is what I want to talk about just briefly today. When I think about coming into the new year, I thought, what are the 12 main ways that I could improve my health? If I just focused on one thing a month, you know, it's kind of like eating that elephant, you know, a spoonful at a time. It's kind of that idea. I think what happens is we look in the mirror and we don't feel very well, and we decide we're going to get healthy. And by golly, we throw it all on the table. We're going to go exercise and we're going to eat better. And we're going to, you know, we're going to do all the, we're going to get eight hours of sleep. And you know, and that lasts until the first, you know, family emergency comes up. And then we go, oh, well, that didn't work. And I think we have a tendency to always think all or nothing. You know, we have to do it all, or we're just not going to do any of it. And so I thought, what can I do to help folks actually just take one piece at a time and just work on their health, and don't make it that I'm going to lose 50 pounds by next Tuesday. Yeah, I hear that a lot too. You know, oh, I've got this event coming up. And so how unhealthy is that? They starve themselves, they do all kind of crazy things, and of course what weight they do lose, it doesn't stay off, and and then they're discouraged, and they're all over the map. So I don't know if you gals have heard about anybody or know of anybody that's done those things, but I personally have done some of those things, and I'm like, you know what? I need to really just get on a plan and take a little bit at a time and not get carried away. So this is my plan. So in January, I want to just work on exercise. Now you can do these in any order, and my guess is that you would probably take whichever one you were struggling with the most and put that on the list first. But this is, again, this is just a sample list, and this is going to be my list. And so I'm going to start off in January by just finding some regular physical activity. And the reason that I put this in January is because I don't know where you girls are, but it's like really cold here right now. So going out and taking a walk around the block, it's kind of like, oh, I just want to curl up with my hot tea and my book and eat. And of course, that doesn't actually get me across my goal line. So I have to come up with some way that I can exercise even on a cold winter day when there's ice out there. I had a girlfriend, she was so dedicated to exercising that she would run, and that became her thing, is she wanted to run. And she hated running indoors on an indoor track. She loved running outside. And I remember one morning, I went to where I was still working at the salon full time. And I went to the salon, and there was all this commotion down on the corner. And I thought, oh my gosh, something's happened. Somebody's had a car accident. No, she was running, slipped on ice, broke her leg like in three places, her ankle. She had to have surgery. She had to have pins, and she never did get back to her, earlier fitness level after she went through that. So there's things that you can do that you don't have to be out there on the ice, I guess is my point. And so you have to be willing and able and ready to kind of go with the flow. And I think that's another thing too. I think if we say, I'm going to do this, and you make that commitment, and then when you kind of do it all or nothing again, I think we have that all or nothing mindset sometimes. Like she did. She was like, I got to run. I'm going to run. I run every day, and I feel terrible if I don't run. So I think we have to have some backup plans in place when we can't do the thing that maybe we enjoy the most. I think there's some other things that we can do and still keep moving. I have another girlfriend. She just bought one of those walking pads. Have you seen those? They're not an official treadmill. It's just the pad. And she put it under her desk. And then she bought one of those lift tops from Amazon. And so she can sit for a while and work on her computer, but then she can stand up. She can pull out the little pad, the walking pad. She can raise up her computer, and she can listen to a podcast or listen to maybe a Zoom meeting because she works from home. And so she can walk during a Zoom meeting. How cool is that? We should all be up walking right now, right?
Yeah.
But you get
Yep.
my point. There's some other alternatives, but I think you just have to choose something in this exercise routine category that you can do on a regular basis, and then have some backups for when maybe that's not going to work. I remember I went on a vacation one time with my mom and my daughter was about 10 years old at the time, and it was just the three of us. And every time we would stop for lunch, I would literally walk around the restaurant like three times. And I did that because we were in the car for hours, driving, because we were driving across several states. But every time we would stop to get something to eat, I simply would walk around the restaurant three times. And it was happened to be a nice time of year, so I could do that. But again, that was just another alternative to keep moving. To keep, I say all the time, you got to keep all the working parts working, So anyway, that's what I want to talk about today. And I want to ask Rita, what are your favorite exercise routines? What works for you?
Well, at this stage of my life, I'm really good at focusing on listening to my body.
Okay.
So for us women, once we hit the menopause years, we have to really kind of refocus and see what our body needs, because it's not healthy for most of us to keep doing those really intense type of workouts that we used to do, the step aerobics and the high intensity interval trainings. And some people are really, geared towards that, but I think most of us, once we hit that menopause, we got to be a little bit more gentle with our exercise. And I know that's definitely the case for me. So with rheumatoid arthritis and multiple autoimmune diseases, for me, I need to be more gentle with my body. But I do love weight training. So my favorite thing is going to the gym and lifting weights and doing
Okay.
stretching and flexibility, but I have to be easier than that. I can't lift the heavy weights that I used to. But I also love yoga and Pilates because those are really good total body strength workouts, but that are much more gentle.
Yes, I love that. I love
Yeah.
that. So those are all great ideas. So now, how about you? Any favorites? And you're on mute there.
Yeah, thanks so much. I'm kind of like I think it's Sherry that's posted in the chat. I enjoy
Yeah.
walking. I usually try to walk most mornings, but like you said, it's very cold where I am also. And so I'm like it's been challenging to get out there, but even if I just go out for a few minutes just to get some fresh air, dress appropriately for the inclement weather, and it helps me a lot, and it also helps my mental health. So between the mindfulness
Yeah.
meditation, I do a little bit of that kind of mindfulness walking, mindful movement. So yeah, I'd probably say walking.
I love it. I love it.
Yeah.
So
Yeah.
those are all great exercise ideas. As we move on through the year, I want to talk about balanced nutrition, and we're going to talk about just an overview of what a balanced diet is, and there's a lot of misconceptions out there. And but if you And again, I'm not going to get into this topic today, but if you would put all of the diet plans and kind of put them over top of each other, there's one core that everyone agrees on. There's a core nutrition that all of those diets all match. And so I want to talk about that when we get to that next month. And then I know it doesn't seem like it would be that big of a topic, but I want to talk about significant hydration in March, because that one is a big one, and so many people fall short there. Then we're just going to move on into April on stress management, May quality sleep, June mindfulness and meditation, on into July on social connections. That's really a big part of our mental health. Then we get into emotional expression, which is different than social connections in our mental health. And then, of course, from there, we move on to setting boundaries. And that's the ability to say no. And some of us struggle with that. And then finally, into some lifestyle choices, like what kind of harmful habits. And sometimes a harmful habit doesn't have to be a big thing. It can be something that's kind of small, something that maybe you didn't even realize was a harmful habit. I have one. I put my cell phone in the front of my bra. That's a harmful habit. When you think about, when you see the research that's done on the radiation that comes out of a cell phone, that's not a good habit. And
Yeah.
so I had to say, I'm not going to do that anymore. So
You
again,
need
some of
one of
the,
these.
yep. So
This
some of
is
the,
an EMF protective phone case, too.
yes. Now, where did you get yours off of Amazon, or did you have a particular?
No, if you go to my website, there's a link to a very reputable company called Defender Shield, and they have cell phone cases. Even my earphones are EMF protective. I have a laptop protector as well. I even have this as a blanket, so I can put this across my body when I'm on the computer all day, or if you're doing something on your lap, with the computer on your lap, that protects you as well. Great for pregnant women, but anybody who's using any kind of electronic device. So, yeah.
And see, and see how many folks don't even know that that's even an option. So that's why it's important that we talk about harmful habits. And sometimes it's those ones that we don't even know are harmful that we really need to protecting ourselves from. And then I want to go into just regular checkups. How many of us think, I feel okay, I don't have to go to the doctor right now, I only go when I'm sick? And I cannot tell you, my background is in the salon industry. I cannot tell you the number of times that a client back then said to me, oh, I haven't been to the doctor in years, I just never get sick. And it's a little bit more than just going when you're sick, you know?
Mm-hmm. And preventing it.
Early detection is so crucial. And then, of course, finish it out with work-life balance. That's always a struggle for many of us, especially since a lot of us are now working from home. That becomes even a bigger struggle because we don't have that definite quitting time. Not that I paid attention to that when I was working in an office. I would still work over. So I get it. So anyway, those are the topics. And I think those are good ones. What do you think, Rita? You think those are good issues to discuss?
Yeah, definitely covers a lot. Yeah.
Yep. I agree too. So that's where I'm headed with everything. So I really appreciate you hanging in there with me while I review that, because that is just, you know, something that I am just so passionate about is the whole body, you know, the whole mind, spirit, body, the whole thing. You know, I think we're meant to be whole. And so many times we get so swept up in what we're doing and where we're going or where we've been or whatever's going on in the world, that we forget to pay attention to the whole picture. So with that, I now want to talk to Sunil. Sunil, bring us up to date from when we talked to you last time. And let us know, what is it that you've been doing? It's been, I don't have my file right in front of me, but I think it's been almost a year since we talked to you.
Yeah.
So bring us up to date. What have you done in the past year?
Yeah. Well, thank you so much. Yeah. I'm going to say thank you to both of you, Kathy and Rita, for allowing me just to share space with you on this podcast or interview. It's a blessing. And thank you, Kathy, for what you're doing in 2024 with those 12 monthly topics. They're so fitting and they're rich. There's so much that we don't even know that we don't know. So thank you. One thing that really stood out for me was the social connection. You know, you mentioned, you know, in January, it's cold, you know, we're more likely to kind of, you hit it right on for me, you know, snuggle up with a warm, you know, cup of tea and snack. And it's like, and I'm a wellness specialist. So I'm like, you know, thank you for just bringing light, shedding light on some of these areas. And also the social connection. As I've gotten a little older too, I realized that the social connections that I used to have, I just don't have as much anymore. And so that again kind of adds to like, how does that impact my overall wellness? So I just want to say thank you again for those 12 topics and taking time to shed light on those things, because they're crucial, not only just important, they're really crucial. As a health and wellness specialist, they become critical to our longevity and how we approach life. So thanks again.
Perfect. So now tell us a little bit about what is it that you actually do? Where are you located? You know, kind of give us the little infomercial about you so that all of our listeners know what you're about, what it is that you do for your clients, and where you're located so they can find you.
Sure. Thanks so much. Well, my name is Dr. Sunil Bach, and you asked what have I done since the last time we met. Well, I finished the PhD, and so it's officially Dr. Sunil Bach, and the PhD, that's right, Rita, thank you. The PhD is in health sciences, and I've worked as a wellness specialist and a muscle activation technique specialist for the last 10 years. My background, I've worked as a professor in exercise science and athletic training for over 15 years. And so, like I said, I just more recently completed a PhD in health sciences. And my practice is located in Lancaster, Ohio. And so I reside and my practice is in Lancaster. And individuals, if they like to reach me and schedule services, they can do that by going to my website, Wellness with Sunil, wellnesswithsunil.com. And so a couple of different things that I do, the muscle activation technique. It's a manual technique that helps to treat the body, treat the muscles, and it can help with improving range of motion. It can help with addressing pain, but really it looks at the neuromuscular communication between the brain and the muscle to help the body move and contract better. And we all want to feel better. I had a client just last week said, you know, I just want to feel better. And I said to her, yeah, which one of us do not want to feel better? We all want to feel better, right? So she was really happy to work with me and with that technique because it was helping her to feel better. So in addition, I provide, as a mindfulness teacher, I provide some stress management and stress reduction technique and tools through the practice of mindfulness. And I help individuals kind of help reduce stress and kind of look at that work-life balance. And so, and also helps with mental health. So the mindfulness practices really helped a lot of my clients deal with stress, you know, be able to address that work-life balance. And again, feel better both mentally and physically. And that's also my PhD work was in mindfulness and looking at the research and the science behind mindfulness. So those are some different areas right now. Yeah, I could go on, but I want to.
No, I love it. I love it. My question is, now I'm a Lancaster girl. I grew up at Amanda Clear Creek. So I'm only, I don't know what, 10 miles out of Lancaster. And now I'm like 10 miles the other way in Kanawha, Winchester. So I'm relatively close to you. And I haven't, and again, you may be on social media, but I have not seen you there in my circle. And so how do you actually get clients? Are you now, especially now that you're a doctor, maybe even before, are other medical practitioners referring clients over to you, or how are you filling up your days with clients?
Yeah, that's a great question. Many of my clients are by word of mouth.
Okay.
So some of them find me on the website. But most of my clients, I probably venture to say, you know, 80% are word of mouth. You know, again, who doesn't want to feel better? So once a client starts to feel better, they tell their spouse or partner, they tell a friend, they tell a family member. So I venture to say probably about 80% are word of mouth.
Okay.
And also things like this, like, you know, I have you featured on the website. So once they may watch a podcast or they might may watch an interview. And I've done some YouTube videos with regards to mindfulness.
Okay.
So some of my private clients, you know, watch some of those videos and then share with friends, family, their networks. So, yeah.
Okay. And so when someone comes to you for some of your services, is it all private pay or is there some insurance component in your services, in the price point?
Yes, it is all private pay. So it's self-pay. I do accept health savings account or flexible spending accounts.
Okay. Okay.
So yes.
That's huge. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah. So, because that's a win-win.
Yeah, absolutely. 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 So yeah. And it's basically really what the client needs and how they value those services that are needed, you know? So they really do tend to come in with a desire to learn more and they've been through some of the other options. Sometimes with this technique, I may be a last resort. You know, some clients may have been dealing with some of these issues for literally decades.
Wow.
So I'm happy to provide the service and, you know, be a blessing to individuals who are looking to really feel better and improve their body function, as well as, you know, maybe approaching their mental health. Now, the mindfulness classes, that's a little bit different. So I've done those in the community. I've also provided mindful executive leadership coaching. And I've worked with some larger companies, corporate companies, Fortune 1 companies. Fortune 100. So yeah. So that's a little bit different avenue and working with those clients who are really high achievers, a lot of stress, a lot of demand on their time. And so that's a little bit different approach. That's usually through the company. So that we provide the coaching, the executive leadership coaching for them. So,
yeah. Okay. I love it. I love it. I do have a question though. Again, and I think we're all guilty of this, when we hear what somebody does, we think we know, but we really don't know how to connect with what they really do or how they do it. Can you give us some examples? And I understand the whole HIPAA situation, but can you give us some examples without names, of course, and give us some idea of some individual folks that you were able to help move them from where they were to where they wanted to be. Can you give us a couple of examples of what that might look like in your practice?
Absolutely. And thank you. That's a beautiful question. I love that because it really does allow us to be able to shed some light on both the breadth and the depth of what we provide in our services. So thank you for that question. And I'll give you probably three totally different clients.
Okay.
Totally different. Three that come to mind. One that comes to mind is a client that I saw more recently. And I had to see this client via Zoom. So we conferenced via Zoom. We had their session through Zoom. And they were going to come and see me in my office. And it started out, they wanted to see me because of an ankle injury.
Okay.
And this is an older client. However, this client had also attended one of my mindfulness classes. And so when they saw me in the session, it ended up being a health and wellness coaching session. So the evaluation and assessment that we conducted via Zoom was both kind of health and wellness coaching, as well as an evaluation and assessment of what was going on with the ankle. Because I have the background to be able to help treat the ankle injury, but there was also some things that were going on with regards to mindfulness. And the first thing this client said to me was, "I miss you. I really miss you." It's because they felt the peace and the calm and just being present during the mindfulness practices when we were doing the mindfulness course. And that was really beneficial. It's really helpful for that person. And so as we progressed through that session, what I did was I wrapped kind of the evaluation and assessment. We talked a little bit about the injury. And I told her, this is the protocol that I'd advise for that injury. And I do want to see you in my office. And we set up an appointment for that. However, the majority of the rest of that session was a health and wellness coaching with a mindfulness emphasis. So I provided the coaching that she really needed. We were able to hold space and provide something that she really needed. So she left the session feeling much lighter. She came into the session feeling so heavy and burdened. One of the statements that person said to me was, "I feel overwhelmed.
Oh.
There's so much going on. I feel so overwhelmed." So it was really rewarding to be able to leave that session with that client and know that, one, they felt lighter, and two, we had a plan to help address both the physiological thing that was happening as well as what was going on with the mental and emotional. So that's one client.
Right? I love that.
Yeah. That's
because
one.
You could actually meet the client where they were in their thought process, and physically where they were and mentally where they were. You could meet them where they were. And I think so many times, and Reed and I've talked about this so many times, you know, we go to traditional, I can't talk tonight. We go to a traditional doctor, mm-hmm. and their time is so short because, you know, they're pressed into service to see so many patients a day, and they really don't get to really meet the patient where the patient is. And I can't tell you the number of times that I've left a doctor's office and then I thought, oh, I wanted to tell him about that. I forgot. I didn't have enough time to tell him about that, you know? And so I get that. It's so beautiful to see how your practice works and how you can take the time with the client. I love that.
Yeah, same. It gives us that that flexibility. I think, you know, when we're in a situation where, to be quite frank, we can kind of have the flexibility and the autonomy to structure our practice the way we really would like to be able to be of service. So I agree with you. It's a blessing and it's rewarding for me to be able to meet those needs on that level. So that's one example. Another example I love to share with you. Is a client who came to me. They were referred by another person, and it was a massage therapist who actually referred this client. They've been working with them, and they've gotten better a little bit. However, when they came back, it was almost like starting at square one again, really square zero. And so this person, you know, another practitioner, and this happens quite often too, referred this patient or their client to me. And it was for a shoulder problem. Now, this person had been dealing with this shoulder issue for literally decades.
Oh,
and
wow.
Things had locked up and it was, you know, and I said, did you ever talk about surgery? This is how complex this situation was that I was asking them, had anyone ever talked to you about surgery? Things were so locked up. And they said, no. I was stunned. I thought, no one has said anything about surgery. And they said, no. I said, okay, well, that's fine. We'll just, like you said earlier, just going to meet you where you're at. We're going to do what we need to do. So I continued to do an evaluation, and we set up a treatment protocol for this person to help them be able to at least have some increase in mobility and contraction of that shoulder. It did not go away completely. However, this person felt so much better after their treatment protocol that they went on to tell a whole organization that they work with. I came in and did a demonstration, and they said she helped me to be able to reach areas that I couldn't reach before. We'll put it that way. I won't say exactly what they said, but they said it was some humor that they could actually reach areas, you know, behind their back, you know, using the restroom, you know, being able to reach behind your back might be important.
Yeah.
They were able to reach areas that they couldn't reach before. And that was, you know, a very chronic condition that we were able to work through together and set up a treatment. And then what I recommend for my clients, once we get you more stable, it becomes wellness. Like you said, it's not something that we just kind of let go to the wayside. So in 2025, we're having these same conversations. Ideally, I like to become your wellness specialist, where there's a check-in once a month or once every other month, just to make sure that you're progressing well. So that's the idea, the ideal.
Yes, so, I love that, because what a difference that makes in that person's life.
Yeah.
I mean, when you think about the difference that makes, that's just awesome that you could meet them where they were, and they got some mobility that they didn't have, and their whole world is different.
Yeah.
Well, I think sometimes you're younger when you finally can get some movement back in some of those joints.
Right. Well, and as Rita may attest to this, we may take it for granted sometimes that knowledge that we have or the expertise, we kind of think of it as second nature. Like you said, there's things that we don't know. So for some of my clients, they come in and I'll just make one small suggestion and they're just like, I had no idea that would really help. Mm-hmm. And so for me, some of that's kind of second nature. It's like, okay, well, let's continue to work through that and let's give it a try. And what I really enjoy too is, because I am self-pay, sometimes I'll say, I really want you to consider doing physical therapy along with, because I know that's going to be another adjunct, another layer on top, and it may be covered by their insurance. So there could be a nice collaboration there where we really work together for the overall benefit of our clients and patients. That's what I really enjoy.
Yeah. Sherry mentioned in the chat that she said, wow, they had no occupational therapy or physical therapy for that shoulder. And thank goodness they did come to you, and it made such a huge difference in their world. I love that.
Thanks.
Yeah. And when you mentioned, Kathy, your goal this, you know, in this month of just getting some movement in, just stretching, you know, just sitting in your chair and moving those shoulders. That's a ball and socket. It needs to move 360 degrees. You can do that in your chair, you know, so to avoid those frozen shoulders. And, you know, you don't move it, you lose it. That's so true.
Yes, absolutely.
Just stretching. That's why they even have these stretch labs now. Do you guys have those in Ohio? I'm here in North Carolina.
Yeah.
We have these stretch labs where you can just go in there and have a therapist help you stretch all different, your whole body parts and push you a little bit. It's so important. Keep that mobility, flexibility to avoid injuries. Yeah.
I love it. And you had a third example for us, Sunil.
So the first example was, elderly client who we did something through Zoom, and we were able to do both the evaluation as well as the mindfulness coaching. The second example was more of a chronic shoulder, kind of a frozen shoulder that had been literally decades. And so the third example I like to share with you is more of an acute situation where individuals come to me, in pain. And so they come because they've been dealing with something that happened more acutely. So they've already seen their primary care physician, or they've been through to the ER. And so the person that comes to mind is actually a family member. It's my brother. So he'd already been he didn't go to the ER. He went to his primary care and he was given a prescription. And the prescription was actually helping a little bit. And how many people have had, you maybe have heard of this, that sciatic or sciatica, that pain that starts in the buttock and then goes down the leg. And so my brother's a bus driver. I'm sure he's okay with me with regards to confidentiality. He's okay with me talking about him. So,
but he's sitting a lot.
He's sitting a lot. So it was helping, but that pain was still there, just kind of a nagging pain. So he came to me literally about 2 weeks ago. We did one treatment, and I'm not saying this happens with everyone because it does not. However, it does happen. He came to me for one treatment. We did what we needed to do. His treatment was about maybe 45, 50 minutes.
Okay.
And then he left and I hadn't heard from him. I scheduled an appointment because I wanted to follow up, but he's my brother. He's like, okay, yeah. So we scheduled it and then he had to cancel because of work. So I called him just this past week, a few days ago. And I said, well, how are you doing? You know, I checked in with him as my brother, but I also checked in to see how's that, you know, buttock area, the piriformis, the sciatica area. And he said, what? Huh? I said, well, did it feel better? He's like, oh yeah, I haven't had any pain. He forgot that he was in pain. So, and that's always, again, delightful to witness and to be able to help. I tell my clients and friends and just the community that our bodies have an innate capacity to heal. And so as practitioners, it's really wonderful to be able to aid in that healing process. You really can kind of help with that natural healing. If we give it time and space and attention, you know, my mindfulness practice says if we set it as an intention and we give it attention with a certain attitude, you know, that healing can really occur. So
absolutely. Yeah. The body does what the mind tells it, right? We got to have the right mindset about healing. Yeah. So do your treatments include all manual work, or do you have like a lot of chiropractors use electrical stimulation devices or other types of neurostimulating devices? Do you use anything like that, or is it all manual?
Yeah, so I am certified as a frequency-specific microcurrent specialist. And so that's a certification that I use when needed for pain management. But predominantly what I do is the muscle activation technique. And so in those settings in my practice, it's usually the muscle activation technique. And now in my background, I've worked as an athletic trainer. I was a director of rehabilitation for 10 years or so. And so I have a lot of physical medicine in my background. So like you said, the stretching lab, some of it is more intuitive as I'm doing an evaluation. Like, what does this body, you know, what does this body really need? And that's how I approach each individual client. It's based off what their body kind of dictates to me. They may come in and say, you know what, it's my back or it's my foot that I'm having issues with. However, after the evaluation, I might find out that it really is your hip. I mean, it's your foot, but some of it's coming from your hip or from your back or from your neck. So we know the body, everything really is connected. So the body tends to tell us, but predominantly manual. Yeah.
Thank you.
Yeah.
So tell us about the muscle activation technique.
Yeah, so there's a lot of information. The founder of the technique is Greg Roscoff, and the headquarters is out in Denver, Colorado. And the technique itself has been around for, I'd probably say it's still relatively young. It's been around maybe 25 or 30 years now. So when you think about physical medicine or physical therapy, it's been around over 60 years. So in comparison to physical therapy, muscle activation is still kind of the baby in the group. You know, chiropractic medicine has been around for at least 50 plus years as well. And so at least the organizational aspects of it, like physical therapy, I think the APA, the American Physical Therapy Association, probably started back in like 1960 or 1950, maybe somewhere in there. So when we look at some of these other approaches, they've been around a bit longer. MAT has not been around quite as long. It started in the professional athletes world. So Greg started it there. And then he saw that it was really beneficial for these professional athletes who needed to be able to have their muscles contract on a dime. Like, they needed everything working on all eight in that world. And so what he found is that it was beneficial for them. And then he had individuals that were referring, my mom or my brother who's not an athlete, and I know this is beneficial for me. I wonder if you'd be able to help them. And so he started to see that it was helpful for the layperson as well. And so he started instructing and offering certification courses for chiropractors, for those physical therapists who are interested, individuals who are interested in some of these allied health areas. And that's how it started to really birth. And then it just exploded into, you know, a certification program, an internship program. And now he is actually associated with a university. So, yeah.
How did you discover it? I mean, were you rubbing elbows with other folks that were doing this technique?
Exactly, exactly. A really close friend and colleague of mine in the Columbus, Upper Arlington area,
okay,
just went and took the course as a continuing education. And they started using it in their practice, in their facility. And they saw that their patients were getting better, like faster and quicker. And they're like, whoa, wait, there's something to this. And so they had heard about it from one of their colleagues who had taken the course. My friend took the course. And within 5 years in his practice, he had gone from one person to seven MET specialists. That's how
wow.
quickly it grew in that practice. So when I learned the technique and I relocated to a new area, after being there about 8 years, 7 years, I relocated to a new area. I wanted to take that skill set with me. I knew the benefit of it. I saw by that point, I had treated clients with MS, with rheumatoid arthritis, multiple sclerosis, rheumatoid arthritis. I had treated a lot of special populations, diabetes, heart disease. I mean, you name it, those special populations, along with, you know, a physical activity or exercise plan, this health and wellness coaching, you just saw their life begin to turn around because they could do some things that they couldn't do before. So it was a great complement to that physical therapy practice that I worked in. And so when I came out on my own as a practitioner, I just thought, you know, I want to be able to continue to share this. So it was challenging because I opened in 2019 and then 2020 happened.
Oh, that's right. Oh, yeah. It's okay. Right after you opened. Wow.
Yeah. So, but yeah,
that's really great. And I'd just like to reiterate for the public too, that, you know, and as somebody with rheumatoid arthritis who has struggled with chronic pain and fatigue for about 30 years, the best treatment that I can do for myself that relieves my pain is exercise. And it's going to be a different form for each person or what you find most enjoyable or what's best for your body. But I mean, I've tried all the drugs and I can't function on them. And then when you, like you said, you get a sciatica, what do? They're going to give you muscle relaxers, which you can't take if you're a driver, right? Or, you know, the strong anti-inflammatory drugs and non-steroidals, which, you know, if you can't take long-term because they're going to tear up your gut lining. So we have to really work with practitioners like Sunil that, can provide these non-invasive techniques that are not harmful and much more beneficial. So I'm so glad that you're doing that and finding such great results. And you have a book out. Tell us about that. What is your book about? I'm sure about everything that you're doing, but what's the title and tell us a little more.
Yeah, thanks so much, Rita. The book that I have out currently is Living with Double D, Surviving Depression and Divorce. And that's what this little, it's a little booklet. I don't know if you can see it, maybe somewhere there.
I caught it.
Put it right in front of you, since you've got your blurred background. It blurs when it gets too far. Put it right up against you, right in front of you. Yeah, now we can see it.
So, and this is the booklet that, the first edition. And so, what I've decided to do is create a second edition of this book, expand it. And so thanks so much. It's having some difficulties, I'll tell you. It's looking to launch. I wanted to launch February 1st, but it's looking like it'll probably launch March 1st, which is okay because I want to make sure that it's, you know, we have everything we need in there. But the nice thing about the second edition is that we're going to have a workbook in there. There's a 30-day mindfulness journal opportunity. So I'm really excited about being able to bring that to the community. And Living with Double D, Surviving Depression and Divorce is really my my personal testimony about how do we overcome obstacles. So this second edition, the title is called Overcoming Obstacles, Surviving Depression and Divorce. So how do we approach these different life challenges and be able to kind of work through those? And adding the mindfulness component to the second edition, I think will be really something very helpful and beneficial to individuals. So I think we all need it.
Yeah, I think a lot of people need that.
What made you decide? Oh, I'm sorry. What made you decide that you wanted to write a book?
The first edition really was, it was interesting. I was working with a client in the gym. I remember this. And I told her, you know how we say this probably too. We're talking to a friend or something, and we say, I should write a book about that.
Yep.
Well, that's exactly what happened. I'm talking to her and I'm telling her about, the divorce that I had gone through and the depression that I had, witnessed as a individual and just how my life had just transpired over the last 7 years. And I had journaled about all of it. I was an avid journaler for a very long time in my life. And then I kind of stopped journaling, but I had captured a lot of my experience in the journal. And so that is really my personal journals that I share.
Okay.
Yeah. And the reason that I wanted to share it too, because I feel like there's that sense of isolation, like you talked about, that social connection. When we feel like we're alone, there's something to be said about that and how it impacts our mental health. But that ability to connect and share your experience with others can also be very healing. And so that was part of the reason that I wanted to write the book and to share and to be able to offer, classes or discussion around how do we overcome obstacles? How do we approach them first off? Like, what are our mindset? Like, how do we view that? And then how do we internalize it? And then how can we heal and move forward? So that was, I guess, in a nutshell, it came out of, I should write a book about that, or you should write a book about that, my girlfriend said.
I get it. Now, you know what? I know your life is busy. I it's got to be crazy busy. And you're pushing the cart in the right direction on your own business, and you're always caring about all of your patients and moving forward. When did you have time to write a book? Did you like get up extra early each morning and work a little bit on it? Did you stay up late? Did you only work on it on weekends? What was your systematic approach, or did you even have a systematic approach in writing the book?
Yeah, like I said, most of the book is journals that I had written before. And so really it was organizing those journal entries into a format that made sense.
Okay.
In the first edition, I felt like was relatively easy. It's a short read, it's more of a booklet.
Okay.
And so it was relatively easy as I wanted to design, and I self-published. So I'm like, okay, they have an editor on board that helped me kind of put these make it make sense. However, the second edition, I really wanted to add the mindfulness component. And so I thought, well, and I had another editor say, well, you probably want to lengthen it because the first book is just a booklet. It's not real long. It's a quick read, very powerful, but a quick read, or very powerful and a quick read. So the second one, I really felt that I had started doing more mindfulness meditation and I've become a mindfulness meditation teacher. I'm certified as a mindfulness meditation teacher. That's my PhD work as well, looking at the research behind it. So I've been able to see how it can be beneficial. So I wanted to add that component.
Okay.
Yeah. Yeah.
And so now you're saying that you wanted to launch February, but it'll probably be March. How long from start to finish did it take you to do that second edition?
So I started working on that last summer.
Okay.
And again, I think for me, it was the editor from that publishing company. She made some suggestions, and I work with her. I probably say most of 2020. We actually, you know what? It was actually in 2022 that we approached it. So I would probably say maybe 4 months. So it didn't take a long time, really, for me,
Okay,
because once
okay.
I have to kind of. Mindfulness, I guess, too. I have to kind of stay focused. If I'm focused on it, now the process of publishing and re-editing and
Right,
that's
right.
still in the works. That's kind of what's putting our launch date, kind of pushing it forward or back the way, any way you want to look at it. To me, it's perfect timing. It'll be launched when it's time to be launched.
Yes, absolutely.
Yeah, but I use tools like you asked, like how long did it take to write even the first one? I spoke into my phone. I used my phone as a recorder. Because typing it out was challenging for me, but I just used my phone and I spoke into my phone. And then I would kind of email that to me and then I would, edit it.
Yes.
So
That's how
it's.
I write. I write the same way. Yes. I use Google Docs with the little microphone, and it transcribes it for me, and then I can clean it up later. So that way I can stay in flow when I'm talking, you know, and I love to talk into my phone when I'm walking. So I love the whole walk and talk thing. So I can kind of do double duty. I can kind of multitask. And, you know, of course, now it's a little cold outside, but I love walking through the woods. I'm very close to a brand new park that they put in just at the edge of Canal Winchester, and tons of wooded walking paths, all paved, a beautiful walk. And I can walk and talk. And I'm just shocked at how many words I can get done just in my daily walk. So, yes, I love that.
That's beautiful. Beautiful. Well, there is one other thing, as the book is important, and I'm glad we were able to talk about it. And something's happening on January 31st, more recently, that I'd love to share with your audience. It's a mindfulness resolutions class.
Okay.
So, mindful resolutions in 2024. Mindful resolutions. And individuals, the first class is absolutely free. It's in Wednesday, January 31st at 7 p.m. It's on Eventbrite, and you can schedule RSVP through Eventbrite. Mindful Resolutions class, again, January 31st, Wednesday. And we'll talk about overcoming obstacles. We'll talk about taking that life journey and helping to reduce stress. And then what are some of those mindful resolutions that we like to see during 2024? So I love the way you approach those 12 things, you know, and so having that support of community throughout the month could be really helpful. And that's what we're going to discuss in that mindful resolutions course.
Or the now, how long is it? Is it just a like a masterclass in a day's time, or is it a series? How long does it go?
Yeah. So January 31st, Wednesday, January 31st at 7 p.m. is the introductory class. That's free. And then there'll be a 3-week follow-up to that class.
Okay.
So the first class, introductory, free, mindful resolutions. And then there's 3-week follow-up to that class.
Okay.
So, yeah. Yeah. So I'm excited about sharing as we look at different, you know, some of the different accomplishments we like to focus on, set an intention with attention and a positive attitude. So 3 focuses of mindfulness: intention, attention, and our attitude.
Nice.
Very nice. When I put the recording of this up into my platform, I will look up that Eventbrite and put the link for you. So anyone, try to make it as easy as possible. So anyone that's listening and they look at the description of our Zoom call today, they'll see the link and they'll be able to just click through.
Oh, Sherry already did that for us.
Sherry did it. Thank you, Sherry.
Thank you so much.
I love that. Yeah. That's
share
perfect.
With friends. Yeah, share. It's a great opportunity to kind of drop into some peace and calm as we look at, you know, what are some achievements or some things we like to focus on. So mindful resolutions. Yeah. So thanks.
I love that. I've been working on my vision statement, my personal vision statement, and I'm really trying to be very mindful, and some of the vision that I have for my life does include some resolutions. So I love that all fits together.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, this is a great opportunity to connect with community. Like I said earlier, it's a little bit selfish, or how about not so much selfish, but self-care, self-compassion. Mm-hmm. And that's one of the reasons I wanted to offer this class, is that ability to connect with others around, you know, mindful resolutions and feel that support could be really powerful. So I'm excited about it.
Yeah, that is exciting. Sherry, thanks for posting that over in the chat. And again, I'll copy that actual link and put it under the description of our call today. Any questions from Rita or Sherry? Comments, questions for Sunil?
I asked mine already. This was great. I'll let Sherry jump in if she has any questions.
Yes. Sherry, any questions from you?
No. I just thought I'd let you guys, Kathy knows this because she knows me pretty well. I'm an OT. So I knew exactly where you guys were going with all this. So I did post in the chat, you were not positive when AOTA and POTA APTA were started. So the American OT Association was formed in 1917, and the American Physical Therapy Association was born in 1921. Mm-hmm. So I thought when I it was like, for me, I went, oh, we're older than PT. Hoo hoo.
Well, 1950 is AT. So that's where I was like, you know, around that 1950-ish, the NATA, National Athletic Trainers Association, was formed in 1950. And so I knew that, you know, MAT is just still a baby to some, you know, to other professions, allied health professions. However, we can all agree that we really want to do what's best for our patients or clients and help provide. So I love the collaboration. I love working with other health professionals and saying, you know, what's the best? How can we provide them the best that we can to help them with their longevity and quality of life? So
I agree with you there. I agree. So I work with kids a lot. So I already signed up for your class, and I'm looking at what things that I can incorporate into working with kids.
Awesome. Yeah. Thanks so much, Sherry. I'll look forward to seeing you.
Thank you.
Very nice. I love it. Sunil, thank you so much for being on with us again. I'm always excited to talk with you. I think we actually had you on a couple of times before, and now you're on again. You always bring such great information. I love what you're doing. And we've added you to our speakers bureau. And so we have a little speakers cabinet. And so any of us, Rita, Sherry, if you're out and about and someone is looking for a guest on a podcast or looking for someone to share this particular topic, remember Sunil and her contact information. I'll double check to make sure it's current, but I'll make sure that you're there in our speakers cabinet with current information if anybody needs to reach out.
She's going to have to be on my podcast then too.
There you go. And you know, I'm a firm believer that the rising tide raises all the ships, and that's the whole idea.
Right.
Doing these is so that we can give everybody the amount of exposure that they need, because the messages are so important, and the audience is already out there desperately looking for your message. And so we want to do our part in spreading the word. And what? Sherry put hers is called thewritingglitch.com.
And what type of podcast do you have, Sherry? What is your topic? It's all about writing. Yeah.
So the writing glitch is all about the disability in writing. It can impact kids from the time that they're learning how to put a pencil in their hand. It could also have impacted you, Sunil, at some point in time while you were writing your dissertation. When you're looking at that blinking light, it's going, I can't figure out what I'm writing next. So there are different degrees of the disability. And I'm teaching from teachers in the classroom to corporate people how to help that. Well, if you're an adult, like that employee that's struggling to get writing accomplished or their documentation done effectively, what are some strategies to help them out? A lot of it is getting behind the scenes and doing organizational skills and pre-planning and a lot of ADHD style executive function things. For little kids, it's really helping them with engaging their memory and doing motor activities that are going to reflect what they see and finding out what it is that they really see, that we can help them overcome these memory issues. Because a lot of kids struggle with remembering those letters and numbers that mirror one another, like B and D, P and Q, 2 and 5, W and M.
Interesting.
Thank you, Sherry.
You're welcome.
Sherry, I clicked you where you could chat, and I did not get you click through. I had my screen sharing at the time, and I did not get you click through where we could actually see you. And then I didn't want to do it while you were talking because I didn't want to lose your message.
It's quite all right, dear.
So I apologize.
At the moment anyway, so you wouldn't be able to see me.
Okay. Oh, that's right. It is getting a little dark outside, isn't it? Yes.
Well, and it gets a little darker here further east. So, ladies, I am about 8 hours east of Kathy and probably Sunil. Wait, I'm not sure where you are, but I'm 8 hours east of you. So it's already just about dark here.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yeah. And Rita, you're in the Raleigh area. Am I correct?
Yeah, North Carolina. Yep.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Oh, although we're kind of parallel, I am near Allentown, PA.
Okay. Just north.
And yep. And Sunil and I are close to Columbus, Ohio, just, I don't know, 10, 20 miles outside of Columbus. I'm about 10. She's about 20.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. So that gives everybody an idea of where we're located. So yeah, we're in the middle of our snow.
Cool. Yeah.
Right now. Mm-hmm. So again, I don't know how everybody else is doing, but we are at 17 degrees here in this Ooh. Area. Yeah.
Yeah. Our day started at 20. I don't know where we are now.
Yeah. Mine just flipped. Mine just says we're now at 15. We're going down because it's getting evening time now. So anyway, thank you so much for being on.
Thank you, everybody, for being here.
As normal, Rita, thank you for being my co-host on the call.
My pleasure.
And I love everything Rita is doing. Sunil, thank you for being our guest presenter today. Sherry, thank you. As always, Sherry is my co-host in my Build a Better Business lane. And so Sherry, thank you for coming and backing me up today in the chat. And we will see everyone next time. Now, we're going to be on every month, and it will be, make sure I get the right one. It's going to be the third, yes.
Third
the
Monday.
Third Monday of every month at 4 o'clock, and mm-hmm. it is the same Zoom link that you used today. So all you have to do is just save it in your calendar, and all of you, please feel free to tap in at any time. The same Zoom link actually gets you into all of my Zoom calls, no matter what the topic is. But you don't have to like chase around and go, what? I don't know about you, but I always struggle. What is the Zoom call, the Zoom code for today? I put it somewhere.
Yep.
And so that way, once you copy mine, mine's going to be the same on everything I do. So that makes life a little bit easier. So
Yep. We
will see everyone next time, and stay warm out there, everybody.
Take care. Bye-bye.
Bye. Bye.